Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our Redskins beat reporter for 106.7 The Fan, Craig Hoffman. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, boys. How are you?
What's up, man? Hoff. So instead of talking about the draft or talking about minicamp, we're going to talk about this Redskins cheerleader situation that came to light after the New York Times published an article about a Costa Rica trip. Tell us kind of just give us a summary of what was going on back in 2013 in Costa Rica.
Sure. So this is all according to reporting from the New York Times. And the story essentially says that on the 2013 calendar shoot, Redskins cheerleaders were accompanied by sponsors and suite holders. And that during that shoot, they were asked to pose topless. And while the pictures may have been covered, as they were on set, they are topless. And now all of a sudden, these sponsors and suite holders, all men, are standing around and essentially watching. There was one point where one of the cheerleaders in the story said that her and her friends were around another cheerleader essentially as a human shield as she was trying to change, and the men were looking on. That night after the shoot, 9 of the 36 cheerleaders that were on the trip were asked by the team to escort these suite holders and sponsors to a nightclub, essentially as escorts. They said there was no sex involved, but they were asked to go to this club. When they walked in, it was empty and kind of weird. It wasn't mandatory, but it was mandatory, if you will.
Right, and there's also a guy who's featured in the article, Mr. Teal, who's a longtime Redskins suite holder, who also had kind of a yacht party. Now, it wasn't a sex boat party, and he says he's got five sisters, so he always treats women with respect. But can you kind of fill us in on that?
Sure. That part of the story is basically what you said is the short version, that it was a party on his yacht, and this was up here in the D.C. area, and that cheerleaders were invited and were, that one seemed like it was kind of, they could pick their own level, if you will, like, okay, you're on the boat, and then if you would like to make more money, you can dance and take tequila shots or whatever shots out of turkey basters and just almost your movie scene crazy yacht party, and that this was encouraged and facilitated by the team, through the team, that this party was organized.
Now, a couple other things that kind of were revealed in this New York Times article, which, you know, maybe some people are aware of, but a lot of people probably aren't aware of, is generally speaking, the cheerleaders, they're paid $75 a game. And when they went to this photo shoot in Costa Rica, sure, the hotel was taken care of and the travel was taken care of, but they weren't paid at all.
Right. Not only were they not paid, they had to actually buy the swimsuits that they were modeling for the calendar shoot. So they were not compensated for their time, and they had to pay to be a part of the shoot, even if they did get the flight and hotel, which is obviously, if you look at them as employees, which we should because they are, then that's not how business travel works. When I go to a place to cover a game, sure, I've bought the suit I might wear, but that's not the part of my job that I'm doing. That's not the equipment I need. The microphones and recorders and laptop that I bring, my equipment for the job, is paid for. I'm paid for my time based on my salary. Any expenses are reimbursed as long as I don't break the rules and go to a place that costs $1,000 for dinner. So the business travel, and this is exactly how we should look at this because they are employees, is not that the rules of what governs that, both by norms and potentially by employment law, were not followed.
So the story says that the cheerleaders were required to pose topless. Did any of the cheerleaders just refuse to do it?
not that's one of the things that we don't know yet, Jason. And so we submitted
I don't even believe that, by the way. I don't believe that a company would say you have to post topless with a bunch of sponsors around.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I don't even believe that. I'm sure it happened and there was pressure, but to say it was required. Yeah.
Right. Well,
that's
the question, Eric, is what is the line of mandatory, right? So they could say, all right, now we want you to take your swimsuit top off, and you know, the photographer is essentially instructing them to do that based off instructions he has of what the shots that the team wants, that mm-hmm. that whatever wants. And then the question, I guess, is answered by what happens if any particular girl says no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so in that way, that was one of the questions that we asked as a follow-up, you know, because in the story, the director of the cheer squad said none of this was mandatory. Even going to the nightclub was mandatory. But by what definition are we considering mandatory? If they had said no, are they sent back to the hotel? Are they no longer a part of the shoot? Are they not on the calendar?
Right.
And then what is... Do you then say that is mandatory? And that way it is an argument of semantics. Clearly there was pressure and a system of how things were done at play that encouraged them to follow what they were being told, whether they were comfortable or not, according to the reporting in the story and according to these girls that are quoted in the story. But in terms of what the policy was, that's a question that the team declined to answer when we followed up.
We're joined by Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter, talking about this story in the New York Times, revealing some embarrassing details of a Costa Rica trip for the cheerleaders. Now, who were the Redskins officials involved with the trip?
Right. So there were two officials that we know of that were named in the story. One is named Lon Rosenberg. The other is Dennis Green. Green is the head of suite sales. And the VP or the president of business for the organization. So he is the one that is over all the suite holders that were there. He's the one who helps organize that. His department helps organize that. Rosenberg is the senior VP of operations. So I'm not exactly sure what his role would be in regards to either the suite holders, the sponsors, or maybe perhaps he was the senior VP over the cheerleaders. That was another question that we asked that was not answered, was what is in regards to the cheerleaders and the decisions that were made on this trip in terms of what they were doing and who got access to them. What was the power structure beyond the director of the cheerleaders who was named in the story? And that again, is a question that the team declined to answer.
Craig, what sort of ripple effect do you envision happening with other teams after they see this story in the New York Times? Because if I'm an NFL owner, say I'm Shad Khan in Jacksonville, and I see the fallout from this, I'm going to go to my PR staff and my lieutenants and say, you know what? Maybe the cheerleaders, the juice isn't worth the squeeze here as far as the liability and exposure we may have, as far as what sort of bottom line element do they bring to our team? What sort of ripple effect do we see from this story?
You know, Kegs, I think that is something you could see. I think you could see teams just go. It's essentially take a, and I'm not, in as a reporter right now, I'm not projecting this. I'm just saying that this could be the thought. We might take an extremely liberal view of this and go, it's 2018, we're not objectifying these women, if that's indeed what you think this is. Obviously, women get into NFL cheerleading positions because it is the commercial peak of dance. And so these are the girls that have danced in high school and in college for their college and high school dance teams and now want to do it on a professional level in a public setting. And this is the outlet to do so. And so if the teams determine, though, that it is not worth whatever liability could come, you could see them eliminated. The other thing, though, that you could see on the other side, not as extreme, is negotiations between teams and the organizations. And, you know, this is a part of a bigger story that's happening right now, where two cheerleaders are suing the league, one a former Bengals, I believe, the other a former Dolphins cheerleader. And these women and their lawyer have said, we'll settle for $1 if we get a four-hour meeting with Roger Goodell to discuss some of these workplace issues that we see. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a chance to correct some of this and keep what has been an institution in the league, I think that could be an alternative as well. But for now, it's going to be team by team. And, you know, the way the Redskins have responded so far, I don't know how much change is going to happen here, because they've denied parts of this and said, and look, I'm not saying that they're wrong. If perhaps these women embellished or whatever, it's our reporting. We haven't been able to find out these answers yet. So I'm trying to play this down the middle either way. But as of right now here, it doesn't look like much is going to change.
Here's the bottom line, I think, for a lot of Skins fans. And this is just sort of cynical. It is what it is. Skins fans want to I mean, it's terrible. You don't want ever for girls to be pressured in a situation like this, right? It's appalling. But, unfortunately, Skins fans, what do they mostly care about? They just want to see Bruce or Dan somehow, like, lose their positions because of this.
Right.
And that's not going to happen here. This is not the smoking gun that's going to get Bruce Allen fired, unfortunately. Mm-mm. It might get some other guys fired, and maybe deservedly so. But this is not...
Bruce gets fired if they go 4-12, but it's not because
fired,
it's not because cheerleaders are claiming.
But
they
it's
had
not
to take
because
their
of this.
Right.
That's the bottom line, in my opinion.
Well, and here's the other thing, Craig. I mean, I know the story says required, and I don't know what's true, and what's not. There's two sides to every story, but it's one thing to say, "Hey, you have to take your top off for this photo shoot, or you're fired." And it's another thing to say, "Hey, you know what? Would you mind taking the top off just for a couple of photos to spice it up a little bit?"
But even that's creepy.
It is, but there's a fine. There's definitely a line between those two requests.
Well, they also said some of the women were naked but had body paint. Mm-hmm. And the creepy part of it is, if it's just a photographer and the women, it's one thing. It's that there were these suite holders,
of course,
and just a bunch of dudes just staring at
right.
The whole
so part of this,
horny old men.
Part of this, guys, is the expectation, right? And if the women were told going in, this is what the job is going to entail, these are going to be the shots, and this is the atmosphere you're going to be in, and they agreed, and then... I mean, even if they got cold feet, that's their right. They can go like, you know what, this is really uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. And I would hope that, you know, that the people in charge would then honor that, their comfort level. But I think when you compare it to, say, other team employees, like the players, who change in a locker room, and there are reporters of both sexes and genders present, then... The expectation is known. So, you know, if a player doesn't want to change in the locker room, you know, he could, in theory, go find a stall, or he could change before we come in there, and the female reporters that are in there as well, or they understand that, you know, this is what it is. There's also rules in place so that, you know, there's nothing too embarrassing that happens, aka someone getting caught on camera. The Redskins are extraordinarily strict about not doing interviews while a guy, you know, for television, while guys don't have their shirts on, and they're very cognizant of what is going on behind. So they try to get these guys right in front of their lockers. That way there's no one caught on the side. So, like, there are rules and regulations in place for other team employees, other public facing team employees, to limit exposure. And I know it's not a necessarily direct apples to apples, but like, if you can take that kind of consideration for your players and their employees, I think that it is reasonable for these women to expect some kind of similar policy. And that's again why we asked what the policy is. We asked how this was set up, you know, who can essentially purchase access and how that is done, what kind of access could be purchased, what are the parameters of these agreements. These are all questions that we asked and didn't. And I'm not saying this to grandstand and to say, like, oh, look at us, capital J journalists, trying to get answers. I'm saying this merely because these are the right questions. These are the things that we want to know to create a better understanding about this situation. And it is things that the team, instead of replying specifically or providing someone who could answer these questions, simply said, our statement in the New York Times will serve as our answer to these questions, even though the statement in the New York Times answered absolutely none of our questions.
Well, the one thing you know about the Redskins is they're not going to give you straight answers.
Nah, they're a bunch of terrible people.
And I think the fuzzy line is the mandatory versus pressure, because Stephanie Jajokian, who was the director of the cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. And still is, by the way.
She says that it was not mandatory, but you can see, you know, young girls who their dream is to become a cheerleader get taken advantage of. They get paid $75 per game.
Some of the OTAs aren't mandatory, but they're pretty mandatory.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
But I'm telling you, the bottom line is Skins fans want to use this as an opportunity to pounce on Bruce and get Bruce fired over this. This is not going to get Bruce fired.
No, of course
this
not.
This will get maybe Mike Green fired or whatever the guy's name is.
Right. Dennis Green. So yeah. So here would be the...
Not going to get Bruce fired.
The if there is if this is the tip of the iceberg and there is a deep-seated, deep-rooted organizational problem that, involves misogyny and sexism and things like that, I'm a reporter, Jason. I'm saying if, because we don't have any stories or anything that's on the record published, at least as of yet. And I'm not necessarily saying that there's one coming in, 10 minutes. I'm just saying, there's been nothing else that has come out to this point in time. Then you could see organizational change. And I think the average decent person would say you should see organizational change for those reasons, not because of 4-12 seasons or botched this or botched that or winning off the field press conferences or anything like that. But if there is if inside that organization on either the football or the business side or the combination of both, there has been a system of oppression that has been developed because of the personalities there, that's a different story. For right now, we have this one story, and I'd imagine only the people named and involved could potentially be in trouble. But even then, I think we kind of need more information and to see, some of the facts are disputed by not only the team and the director in the story, but current cheerleaders who have said, this is not how this happened. I don't know what our recollections are very different. So I think there's a lot more fact-finding and digging that needs to happen. We're working on it. Hopefully we'll have more as the day goes.
All right, thank you, Craig. It's Craig Hoffman,
go
the Redskins
dig it out.
Beat reporter. Definitely
go
an embarrassing story for the Redskins organization.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't even know where I fall. I don't have Instagram. It's mostly about people who have Instagram.
Right.
And people who are in relationships.
All right.
And it has to do with, and I don't even know the Instagram lingo. Do you like pictures
Instagram,
on Instagram?
Yeah,
do you favorite them? Do you heart them? What
it's
do you
a
do?
Heart, but you just hit like. I mean, what's the same thing? You just hit, the heart and then you like it.
And what does that do?
I don't know.
It means I saw
your picture.
It's like you're giving them a high five.
Okay. All right.
Most of the time, if somebody posts a picture of their kid, you just put a
virtual
heart.
Affirmation.
If you're on Drabbies, it's a bunch of girls, big butts. You just,
yeah. What?
Yeah.
But here's kind of the topic is
maybe
about
looking at that big butt of
yours. Whether partners, and I got to believe it's mostly women, but I guess we can kick it around this the other way around. If they consider that cheating. So if their man is liking pictures of women that are scantily clad, let's say.
It's so stupid.
How is it cheating?
It's not cheating. Here's
the
article.
The term is micro-cheating.
The example they gave in the article is when a guy, he liked the picture, and then he went a step further. Like, there's somebody here that works at the station who will remain nameless.
Right.
Who goes a step further. This person has a significant other.
Yes.
That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And then post thirsty comments about the picture.
That's, like
that's not cheating. That's stupid.
Liking it is one
thing.
That's
just so stupid.
You can't leave thirst-filled comments.
God, I would love to know who you're talking about.
I'll tell you during break, you'll be flabbergasted. It'll just blow your mind.
On Twitter.
So it's utter stupidity.
Right? Yes.
Unless he just doesn't care.
Maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe he's looking for an out. I don't know.
I just don't know. I don't know anything about this person's personal relationship.
Have you ever met the person's wife?
No.
You got to do this. Read this under the table.
I don't know.
We have cameras in here.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I'm giving you the name of the person.
Now, on Twitter, there's also a heart, right? You can like, comment.
Correct.
Yes. I just do it to pimp the product. Like, I don't see any reason to like anybody's tweet. Like, if Cakes posts a picture of his MGM National Harbor chip.
I get it.
Which I did last night.
You're not really a fan of social media.
I will retweet that to promote the event. Like, I retweeted your event
yesterday.
Well,
I appreciate you doing that. By the way, I was the first person knocked out in the Cakes Classic last night.
You were on a roll there
for
a while.
So when he posts chip.
That's a good point.
I might retweet it so that people know that there's an event, but I find no reason to hit the heart.
That's fine.
I definitely wouldn't do that.
Like, I would believe that a lot of women would believe, not necessarily that it's cheating, you're not banging, no, but there would be jealousy issues if your wife was a snoop and looked at all of your social media behavior and saw that you were liking all these pictures or hearting pictures on Instagram of hot chicks.
I think most wives will give you a pass if you just like it and leave it at that. But if you like it, and then there are 100 thirst-filled comments, that's probably what's going to get you in some sort of
trouble. And that's not even cheating, by the way. That's just stupid and rude and insulting to your significant other.
How many pictures will you like in a day?
Not that many. A half dozen? Maybe.
I usually like most of the ones I see. It's just a courtesy. You like them.
You're just acknowledging that you saw it.
Yeah, that's all. Generally speaking.
Do any of you guys follow any Instagram models?
No.
Only one would maybe be Paige Spiranek, or however you say her name.
Nope.
That would be the only one. Spiranek. She's a golfer. Spiranek. She's the golfer.
I'm in Instagram
limbo.
Is
she considered an Instagram model? Maybe she is. Yeah. That's how she got famous. Yeah. That would probably be the only one. But I follow my friends. People that work in the business.
You don't follow a couple of smoke shows just to see a juicy butt every now and then?
There are a couple of shows.
What's that going to do for him, a juicy butt?
Yeah. I believe
does a juicy butt do anything for you?
You were wrong.
Honestly.
I might hit a like if I saw one.
Other than that.
I mean, it's not going to work for me. That's what you mean.
You don't like scrolling through your buddy's pics and all of a sudden get surprised by a nice plump butt?
I'm going to go through my Instagram right now, okay? Right with you. Grant Paulson with the...
Does he have a juicy
puppy
butt?
Or something? I don't know.
Grant Paulson with the juicy
butt. He's got
butt.
A puppy or a dog or a lion. I don't know what that is on his dong.
It's a hyena. That's what it is.
I got my guy from the Bath, my basketball coach. I like that.
Who? Which one?
Mike Jones? Yeah, okay.
By the way, Justin Moore, Junior DeMatha, going to Villanova next year in 2 years.
There's a.
By the way, first player ever at a DeMatha go to Villanova.
Right.
Which is kind of surprising me.
Indira, our old camera girl from Fox. I always like all her like lifting and workout stuff.
Right.
Tommy's wife. Oh, my God. Laura. Every workout video, I just hit
I would click dislike.
I don't think there's that option.
No. There's no dislike?
I don't believe so.
No, because Tommy
that's
told
a flaw
me
in the program.
She gets upset if people don't like it, so I feel bad.
You feel
you're
getting bullied into
likes. I'm getting bullied into likes.
Yeah.
So
I'm barely active on Facebook, and one time
my guy
I heard
Paul
that,
Rabel, I
one
like,
time I heard
Julie
that
Donaldson like
that I hadn't been liking somebody's Facebook post, and I was like, I'm barely on Facebook. I use it for the junkies. Now I have to like everything you post.
I'll
you
be honest,
you get pressure.
The only reason I initially got Facebook was so I could get a deal with Sports Yapper. back in the day, Sports Yapper
was
a thing
that paid you some good cash.
I'll tell you what,
about
if
3 months.
Sometimes,
the only reason I got on Facebook was for that lucrative book that I wrote.
Yes, Yapper. I do follow some celebrities like Shaq. He's hilarious. But I don't really like his stuff because he has 4 million likes. Like, what's the point? This is stupid.
A lock, you follow Britney Spears and you favor all those fitness.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that I do. I'll be honest with you.
Well, how do you know about him all the time?
I'm on the blogs. I'm telling you who I'm following. I'm going right now. Stern Show,
now
Trent Murphy.
So let me ask you
this. Be honest, the story is mostly geared
towards
DeMatha.
I got a question. Millennials are the worst people on the planet. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you
I do still follow RG3 on it. I'm going to unfollow him
what
right
are you
now.
Doing?
I'm going to unfollow
your
him right now.
Your life just got better.
Yeah, because I unfollowed him on Twitter,
so this is
my life was amazing.
So this is a stupid question. I just want to know what the process is. So if you get a picture from, let's just say, Paul Rabel, and you like it.
Mm-hmm.
How does it get back to him that you actually liked it?
He probably doesn't even really know it, but he gets like 10,000 likes if he cares.
I get it, but
look.
How does it show up that you saw it and liked it?
If he clicked on his post,
you could see who liked it.
You can see a list.
You can see
a
list of the people who liked it.
Yeah, yeah,
all right.
Right.
Yeah.
But then,
like a lot of times,
here's what most people do.
A lot of times, it'll show like two or three names. So let's say Drab just sees the Paul Rabel post, and it might say these people have liked it.
You like popsicles?
Yeah. So like, okay, I posted a picture of my daughter in her little catcher's gear. I thought it was a cute pic, and I want it. It's also a great way to keep stuff, keep it organized. So I posted a nice picture of her. I said, you know, that's my Matt Wieters, much cuter. And then you could look on it. You could see 332 people that liked it. If you cared, you could go through and look.
Do you look?
Yeah, sometimes you want to see who's
you
checking
see
out
who's checked
stuff.
It out.
Yeah, you want to see.
Do you get bitter
people
when people don't respond to it? Does that ever upset you?
I don't think so. I mean, you might wonder, well, how come nobody liked that picture?
How many
was
those,
that a terrible picture?
How many
picture?
Of those people who liked it have juicy butts?
I honestly don't know.
Well, do you guys know that on Twitter you got to be careful? You can't like any juicy butts on Twitter. because it will show up in other people's feed. There's somebody that we know that I was scrolling through my feed on Twitter the other morning, and some girl in lingerie was sitting in my feed. And I was like, what is this? And it said, so-and-so liked this photo. This guy's definitely married, has kids.
I think it's fine if you want to, if you're clicking a million things and you like a juicy butt, that's fine. But you're crossing the line with the thirsty comments.
Okay, right.
That's
understood.
Outrageous. But I'm wondering, and if you just follow Instagram models, that's embarrassing.
I'm wondering, for the millennial voices like here, which Valdez and Drab are millennial voices of the show.
They're the old millennials.
Valdez is right in the middle of it.
Yeah, Drab's like a really old millennial.
Drab is a balding millennial. Yeah. I mean,
I don't consider him a millennial. So
but for the millennial voices of the studio right
gray-haired
now.
Gray-haired millennial.
Have your wives, you guys are both newlyweds, ever monitored your social media? And in particular, Drab, because we rib him. Because look, Nikki Burdine, who used to be with Channel 9, did a piece on him.
Love Nikki Burdine.
Okay, so it became a bit.
Talk about a juicy butt.
When I forget what was it. It was like some sort of like bomb went off at the movie theater.
Yeah, somebody had like a soda bomb.
There's a terrorist attack.
Somebody,
at the
somebody shook him a soda and Drab got butt scared.
Someone put
Pop Rocks in a Coke.
Terrorist attack.
Right. But Drab happened to be there.
A soda exploded.
At the movies. And he did a 30-second interview with Nikki Burdine. And she said, wow,
she was complimentary.
You're really good.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he follows all of her social media. Right. Has your wife ever expressed even just a tad of jealousy?
No. Well, she did find out about Nikki Burdine one time because we were listening to a Junkie segment that I thought was funny, and I forgot that her name was mentioned in it. And then it was awkward. And Valdez's wife was over at that moment, too, so it was awkward for like 5 minutes.
Right.
It's
hilarious.
But the Nikki Burdine thing's kind of a bit. But we both follow Instagram models.
Right.
And we'll like them every once in a while. Famous girls and just, you know, girls with big busties.
I try to not like them because I don't want people to see, Valdez is liking big jugs.
But we have the difference. I have no interest in talking to these
guys. You've already admitted it. Everyone knows you do.
The people I know, you use this like you're bored. You're at a stoplight.
Right.
You're just seeing what's going on. That's all. You're taking a dump, and you're just looking at, you know, your Instagram.
Well, the truth is, look, it's
pictures.
Back in the day, we would look at a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
Yeah.
I got so plenty of time
Sports
in my life. I don't need to watch that
issue is right there on your phone.
You don't need it. It's just what people do when they're people just do it out of habit. You're at a light, or you're just eating dinner, or you're eating a snack.
Or you're on the sofa.
But there's a commercial.
By the way, most people do it when they're driving, not when they're at a light.
A lot of people do it. So okay. Many distracted drivers.
I guarantee you do it,
too. I don't think it makes you a bad husband just because you get sized.
No, of course not. You know? But it's
that's
stupid.
A juicy butt. I like that
it's
juicy
stupid
butt.
That where you're crossing the line, and it's not cheating, but where you're crossing the line.
Is when you're sliding in DMs.
When you're, if you're putting comments, and you're like, I mean, Can we read some of the comments of an employee here of the station without outing the employee? Just read the comments.
You'd have to give me a minute here to load them up.
Is it the same person you just wrote down?
Well, that person's definitely going to know.
Juicy butt. It's a juicy butt pick.
This would be a good time to look at juicy butts when we're trying to load up the comments, the thirsty comments.
By the way, that person that you wrote down is a complete donk.
All right. If you want to chime in.
Even before I knew what the thirsty comments.
You knew it was a donk. Yeah, of course.
If you want to chime in.
Now it's like times 100.
All right, EB, you got a big smile on your face.
It's just funny. I'm not going to give too many details, but this has like been the sort of the subtle talk around the office, like during breaks sometimes, is we'll just see the thirsty comments this guy writes. And, there's
give me an example.
All right, there's a hot chick, and she's like near the ocean. Like, here's the picture, right? You know, whatever. Just kind of like a selfie hot pic. You don't see her face, but you know, right? Whatever.
And it's just a random woman.
Well, it's obviously somebody this person knows.
Okay.
And it just says, okay, yowza. There, I said it.
Right? God, that's
another
such an old man word.
There's another pic, and you know, she's an attractive girl, no question about it, right? And
is that the same girl?
Same girl. It says, gorgeous as always.
Oh.
Then there's another one. Stunning as usual. Like, this would piss me off. If I was this person's wife, this would piss me off.
Bordering on obsession right now.
And then here's one. This is the best one. So there's, I get, here's the best one.
I want to say something.
There's
so
this
bad.
Chick, and she's an attractive girl, 100%. She's holding like a new rescue dog. And here's the comment.
Oh, I can all have. I'm bracing for it.
I want to be rescued.
Oh, brace for impact. I feel like the people on Sully, when the stewardesses are telling them to brace for impact, they're about to land in the Hudson.
Yeah.
I have it's to brace just, for the impact of these
by the
comments.
Way, it's funny. Creepy, but it's also creepy to me.
But
that
it's not
Valdez
cheating.
Or
it's
Drab
just stupid and
it.
Creepy. Huh?
Yeah, you're right.
To me, it's almost equally as creepy that Drab or Valdez spotted this pattern.
No, they're
mutual friends.
Gumshoe detectives.
But all I can tell you, it's the talk of the sort of the office.
Hey, don't put that on us in here.
Okay.
Well, whoever unearthed this.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't detect that pattern of behavior.
Right.
Well.
I would have never checked this person's feed.
It just baffles me that someone so hot knows that person. Right?
Who knows? Probably like a.
You know what? There's no way they're
could
friends.
Could be like a friend of a daughter
there's
or
no,
something.
There's
I mean,
no way
knows?
They're friends. There's no way they're friends.
I don't know. Maybe they work together.
You don't think
they
run the same
work
circles?
Together
it could be the daughter of a friend of his or.
Yeah, but that's 10 times worse.
I know their relationship.
Oh, you do? All right, let's go to G in Warrington. G, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
What's good, Junks?
Hey,
I just wanted to holler at y'all about, you know, this Twitter stuff, man. Like, me and my wife been together close to 7 years now, so it's not like you guys. But if I see a pretty hot-looking chick, you know, I don't, like, put comments on her, but I'll show my wife and be like, check this out. And she'll be like, oh, man, you know, and we go back and forth with it. But I also want to give a shout-out to these cats still going to win tonight.
All right, so you're confident. Are you asking or you're
I'm
telling?
Confident.
Yeah.
I'm confident. I'm guaranteeing us winning. We're going to go in five, baby. It's over.
Where are you watching the game?
I'm watching the game in my house with my wife.
Can I come over?
I can't. Yeah, hell yeah, man. We get a drink. Don't be ain't know where I'm from.
Okay. It's just far.
Yeah.
I got nothing wrong with
hey,
it.
Hey,
I almost
hey,
bought a truck
hey,
out
that,
there.
Hey, that dude sounds like the next Midnight Stalker that y'all are talking about, man. He got some issues.
No, he's just...
he sounds like
the Midnight...
The can't, Richard, you can't be coming.
I just like, think he's like overly horny.
The Night Stalker, Richard
he's
Ramirez?
Like the, he's like the... Hey, man, he's like the next old guy standing out front of the grocery store opening his coat up or something.
Nah.
He's got issues.
You know what? I can see him doing that. I can see him doing that, my friend, if you only knew.
Oh.
If you only knew. And it's not Pete Medhurst.
Hey,
when are we going to print out the Nikki Burdine comments Drab leaves and read those?
I don't leave Nikki Burdine comments. The guy that's creepy, and then we don't talk to him anymore because you guys are so
it's
mean
cakes.
To him. No, it's Adam. Adam is all like, he follows all the Instagram models and slides in their DMs, right? Isn't
you
that his move?
You can bring him in after.
No, I don't care. He's dead to me,
well,
too.
Well, he's not in a relationship, so...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just creepy, though.
I mean, by the way, he never will be in a relationship.
Let's go to...
You'll be saying that in 25 years.
That's bullying, Jason. He's going to hold that against you.
Go to Cowboy Todd. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, fellas?
What's up, Cowboy?
Oh, just another... Hey, you know what? My wife's got her author page, and she gets so many DMs, and then all them vulgar...
He's got a hot wife. She's had 100 kids, but she's...
It's disturbing.
She's, yeah, I don't know. She's some sort of, what does she do?
She's an erotic literature author.
Right. What's her last book? So, what's her most recent book?
It's, I just tagged it on Twitter. It comes out in June, and it's called Unforeseen.
All right.
So you can pre-order it on Amazon right now.
So it's just a novel with just all these sort of fictionalized hot sex scenes, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of sex into her books, erotic.
Right.
Erotica.
So it's all like bondage and that kind of stuff?
Correct. I don't know what the correct term is, but it's a lot of bondage, sexual stuff.
It would be bondage would be the term.
Right, right. Your wife is not a cowboy. Your wife is not a swinger, is she?
No, she's not.
Have you guys ever been to like a swing party or anything like that?
No, because I'm too much of a jealous type guy. I just couldn't do no cuckoldle. Or what you say, cuckoldle?
It's cuckoldle.
Yeah.
The correct term is cuckoldle.
Yeah, you couldn't do that, right? You couldn't see somebody else with your wife.
You
that would
it,
make
man.
You crazy.
You got it. What's the name? What's the word? What's the word, Todd?
Cuckold.
Pretty close.
I don't know.
For him, it's very close.
Do you ever Google that, though, and maybe check out some of those videos?
Yeah, like on Pornhub, you know, they got it on there.
Right, of course
they
do.
It out a little bit.
Right.
Shocker.
Todd Soul.
Hey, looking at the cover of the book, I went to at Cowboy Todd VA on Twitter, if you want to follow him. And it seems like your wife's book includes murder, includes the devil. Is that correct? And sex.
Is Cowboy read? Can Cowboy read?
Barely. I haven't read none of it. Like, she'll read some of it out to me. But, you know, dude, if you ain't a Q Hunt magazine, I ain't watching it or reading it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's too many big words in there.
So. Well, right. Todd, we miss you. We miss you.
I miss you too, buddies.
You've become a big sports fan, it seems like. Just look at your Twitter right now. Are you a big Caps fan?
I love the Capitals, and they're kind of ticked off about Wilson, but TJ Oshie's my man, you know, Ovi, you know, I'm glad to see Holtby back, you know, doing his thing instead of choking in the playoffs, but.
What redneck bar are you going to watch the game in tonight?
Tonight it'll just be at home.
Oh, okay.
This weekend, we'll probably go to, like, B-Dubs or somewhere like that.
Who did I run into the other day that said he used to bounce at one of those bars out where Cowboy lives and said Cowboy's just the biggest idiot and just every weekend would be out at these bars.
Was it the Roadhouse? Was Patrick Swayze the bouncer?
Just getting fights all the time. Get beat up, thrown out every time.
Yeah.
Rainbow Road.
That's your spot.
Patsy Cline was discovered. Right. That was my spot back in the day. That was my watering hole.
Right.
Patsy Cline.
Right. All right, Cowboy.
All right, go Caps.
Be good, buddy.
All
right.
Go Caps.
Stay out of jail. Somehow he has. He's been on a long run.
Does anybody under 70 know who Patsy Cline is?
He's on the straight and narrow.
I don't really. I've heard. He's
I've heard
country
of Patsy
singer?
Cline.
He's an old school, I think, country artist.
Yeah.
Does she sing Stand By Your Man?
I think might have been Loretta Lynn, but I'm not.
They're all the same to me.
I'm not 100% sure.
Now you're going to make me Google best Patsy Cline songs.
Let's go to Scott, Mount Airy. Scott, what's up, buddy?
Hey, EV.
Yes, sir.
I called you guys like 8 weeks ago to give you the great news. Do you remember?
Oh, this is Scott, whose brother's a big poker player. Scott plays poker, and you had a baby or something?
Yeah, wife Kate went into labor 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Been trying to call in. Named after you, EB, after a long talk with the wife.
So what'd you name?
How amazing you were.
Eric.
Elizabeth. Eric, funny. Elizabeth Charlotte.
Why is that named? How's that named after me? Should have named her Erica.
Eric Carlton, Elizabeth Charlotte.
Well, we liked Elizabeth, and you can say Elizabeth separated. Into EB.
Why are you so out of breath right now?
He's always like sweaty.
Running
and out
the
of breath.
Stairs, man. Trying to get the lights closed. It's early in the morning.
Are you still? You still kind of heavy?
It's late in the morning.
You still kind of heavy or what?
Am I still kind of heavy?
Yeah.
That's like asking Rom if he still smokes.
Right. So that's a yeah. That's a yes.
Yeah. I'm a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
So hold on. I want to get through this. So you named her after me just because it's. Elizabeth, and then what's the, did he have a B?
Charlotte.
Charlotte, like Eric Carlton, Elizabeth Charlotte.
Jason, you get it.
Yeah, okay. Of course I do.
Okay. It's kind of weird.
You're a weird dude, though, but
why
I
wouldn't
it.
You name her Erica? Then it would be a little, make more sense.
Because we don't like that name.
Or Carla.
Carla?
Well, middle name, Erica
no.
Carla.
Eric no. Carlton. Carla yeah. sounds old.
Right. Right. Okay, I'll take it. Thank you.
Hey, Cakes, you're going to have a tournament next month?
Tournament.
Yeah, I hope to last more than 90 minutes in the next go-around, but yes. Cakes Classic, first Wednesday of every month.
All right, I'll make it next month when the baby's a little bit older.
We'll see you there.
Congratulations, Scott.
Right. Scott, you were calling for dating advice for AWOD?
Yeah, AWOD, you need to just start listening to EB. If you don't, your life's going to be like mine was for 10 miserable years, man.
Hold on, you don't understand. He thinks I, like, saved his life.
Why?
Remind people why I'm
you're the
like,
fray all of a sudden.
Remind people why I'm so important to you.
And when you ask him,
remind me too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're asking.
Remind me why
you.
I'm so important.
Because you had the biggest loser contest that one time at Verizon Center.
Yeah.
And I showed you how much of a loser I was just by parking my car outside and having it towed on the DC street.
Right.
And he said, "Scott, if you don't get your life in order, man, you're never going to get married. Never going to get a degree in college. Right. Never going to make anything of yourself." I've done two of the three.
Right.
Well, you got married.
Loser contest was years ago.
Right. Hold on. I'm going to break this down. Did I really have a serious conversation, or did I just say that to you, blow you off, and walk past you?
No, you really had a serious conversation with me.
You had a heart-to-heart.
Cakes blew me off. Cakes and JP blew me off. I was shocked that Cakes did that. JP,
hold on,
I'm not shocked at all.
I don't remember the blow off. If such
just
a thing occurred,
just saving lives here. Just saving lives here, people. Don't know what to tell you. Hey, How long did we talk?
Good 15 minutes, I'd say. It spread out over the breaks for the hour and a half.
What did I tell you? I tell you, you're an alcoholic or something. Like, same stuff I tell Rom.
Basically,
it's not working.
You told me all the stuff that was true. You told me all the stuff that was true.
Right.
And I listened to you. Obviously, Rom hasn't.
Right. You're right. You're right.
My weight did get down. You told me to get my weight down. I got that down to about 185 at one point, but because of surgeries, I had to unfortunately balloon back up.
You had to bulk up. Right.
Yeah,
you
I had to bulk up
there.
The long way.
You can get back there. Don't quit.
I'm gonna go on that Valdez diet. That's what I'm gonna do.
What's the Valdez diet? Crabs.
It's cool, man.
Yeah, crabs.
Crab, you got it. Crabs. I'm going to go down to Ocean City and get some crabs, yo.
Guys, just doing bits.
Right. All right, Scott, God bless you, man. I'm glad it's...
you're doing good work.
Sounds like he's turned the page.
He sounds all bloated and sweaty over the phone. But listen,
thanks,
things are better, though, right? Things are better?
Oh, they're 1,000% better because of you.
Right.
Look at it.
Why don't you come in the studio and perform on him?
Well, he did. I did a good thing. Why can't you let me? I did a good deed.
Yeah, you joned on him for 15 minutes.
I told him what he was a loser.
You fat slob. What a loser you are.
Go to
Thank
Jason.
You, Eric. Appreciate it.
Jason.
Turn my life around.
Hold on. Here we go. Jason, what's up? You're on the Junks. I counsel a lot of people you don't even know.
I get it.
Jason.
Hey, what's up, guys? First time, long time. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to chime in on your Instagram and micro-cheating comment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So a couple years ago, you know, I'm on Instagram. I'm on, you know, I follow like Barstool Smoke Shows, The Chive, follow, you know, a handful of those crazy hot bikini models that would never in a million years talk to me. So I get home from work one day. My wife's in tears. And I'm like, what's going on? One of her friends went onto my Instagram account, saw who I was following, sent my wife an email and said, you need to get your husband, you know, get your husband in line.
Well, she narked
find out, like,
you out.
Who he's been stalking.
That's the worst.
Uh-huh.
She totally ratted me out.
All right. And?
Well, so then I blocked her, and now she can't follow me. But my wife was in tears.
And I was like, how did you explain it? How did you explain it away?
Well, I showed her a series of pictures. I'm like, do you really think that any of these women are going to talk to me? No.
Only in your dreams.
That's one strategy. They're so out of my league.
Was that
I'm
enough?
Such a loser.
Was that enough to forgive you?
Yeah. Did she agree with you?
Yeah.
What type of league is your wife in, then?
Is your wife in your league or their league?
She's out of mine, but not in theirs, right?
Yeah. She's in between. She's a tweener.
Tweener.
Right in between. Exactly. I'm like a six. She's an eight, and these are tens.
Yeah. Right.
I'd say most guys' wives are tweeners.
Yeah, most guys would be sized for a tweener.
Oh, it's hilarious, Jason.
All right. Thanks thank you, buddy.
Calling.
So he blocked his wife?
No, his wife's friend.
The wife's friend.
So that was ratting him out.
Anymore.
Right. Terrible girl.
Yeah.
Oh, could you imagine?
Right now, joining us to give us his insight on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines, our buddy Alan May, Caps Analyst for NBC Sports Washington. What's going on, Alan?
Alan, are you there? Oh, my bad. I got to punch you up. Hey, Alan.
Hey, there we are.
Hey, buddy.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I saw you were bracing for the suspension. I saw you had tweeted like a picture of a drum roll. What were your expectations?
I was expecting a suspension, and, you know, from all the things that I'd heard around the league, all the different hockey people that I talked to, they said they were against the suspension, but they felt that the league would have to suspend Tom Wilson because it was bad PR right now, and everyone was, you know, bottling up all the different hits that he's had here in the playoffs and how we started the season. So they felt it was going to be more of a PR move, a suspension that way. Mm-hmm. And when I look at it, I'll take everyone's opinions out of it. When I just looked at the hit, I thought, you know, by the letter of the law, if you went at it, you would say that, you know, skates are on the ice. He originally gets body on body, and then he goes through the player and hits him in the face. But at the same time, you think that's probably a suspension because, there was a lot of damage. The shoulder is undoubtedly in his face and goes through it. And if you're to believe their coach, you know, he's got a broken jaw. And certainly he should have had a concussion with that. So I'm not surprised whatsoever that he has a suspension.
Yeah, but you know, Alan, they could have, you know, if they just want to make a statement with a PR move, why not just give him the one game? Why do you got to bump it to three?
You know what? There was so much outcry out of this. And take the Pittsburgh fans out of this. You look at, you know, all the mainstream media, all the major guys that vote for all the different awards in the NHL. You know, a lot of those guys, it's clickbait for them. They're irrelevant, but they went over the top on a lot of this. So, you know, I look at it. I heard that the referees, the four guys on the ice, their supervisors and the Department of Player Safety, I was told, were against the suspension because the way the law reads, they want consistency. And, you know, this sounds like it came from higher up. And, you know, I felt like something like that would happen, even if it was just the referees and their supervisors that were at the game didn't think it was a suspension. You know, it doesn't matter. The league has spoken. It's a suspension, and everyone's got to deal with it. The Caps got to deal with it. Tom Wilson won't play for three games. Hey, they had no Evgeny Malkin, and they won and lost games. So it's all about winning the game, and the suspension is done. There will be no appeal. Nothing will change from it.
Exactly. And that, you know, that's why I tweeted this earlier. It's kind of been my mantra all morning. I refuse to whine about this suspension. Obviously, we're a better team with him. He's a huge part of it, but big deal. They could win without him. In fact, it could even work to their favor. Use it as a rallying cry, right? Maybe instead of maybe some sort of subtle letting off the gas that you might not even realize subconsciously is occurring, everyone's got to dig a little deeper without him. I think it could work in their favor, possibly.
Hey, I've seen teams win without stars in their lineup and got Mario Lemieux for one. The very first time Pittsburgh won a Stanley Cup, He was gooned in the New York Rangers series, and I believe, I don't know if it was a broken wrist, but Mark Messier chopped him, Adam Graves chopped him, and he missed, I believe, the entire series, and may have missed it with Jaromir Jagr. They called up their best two players from their minor league team, and they weren't very good skaters, and they slotted them in their exact spots on the power play and at regular strength, and they still found a way to win. The Capitals, this is Tom Wilson. He's a winger. The centermen are in the lineup. Backstrom is still there. Kuznetsov's still there. Eller's still there. Beagle's still there. Those four guys have to win the game for the Caps. They've got to provide offense. They've got to provide great defense. A goaltender has to steal another game in Pittsburgh. The team has to play good. And Tom Wilson isn't on the ice for 60 minutes of a game. He gets about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how the penalties are. He rides shotgun with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov right now, so someone else is going to have to ride shotgun, and they're going to have to play a good brand of hockey. Big deal. When you win the cup, it doesn't matter. If you lose the cup, you win the cup. It's people remember the team, and they don't remember who was out and who was in. It's about scoring goals and winning games.
So what's your best guess as to how Trotz shifts the line tonight, and who gets the additional sweater with Wilson sidelined?
Well, if I was him, I don't think I would switch all of the lines and bump someone up and break all the other lines. He did some great moves the last game. He dropped Chandler Stephenson down to the fourth line. He bumped Jacob Vrana up, and I thought he added a lot of punch to Backstrom and Oshie and helped them get the puck into the offensive zone. And he's a lot smarter player offensively than Chandler Stephenson. He thinks a lot quicker. Stevenson's a great skater. But I like the look of the way the line has been checking, the third line with Devontae Smith-Pelly and Lars Eller. So what I think I would do to start this game, and I'm not sure we're on the same page here, Trotz and I, but I would probably go Travis Boyd or Shane Gersich, probably Boyd first, because he's good on the boards. He's played a lot of pro hockey so far. A very intelligent player. He's played a lot of minutes, and so is Gersich. But I think right now, it would be less pressure for Boyd, and I'd throw him on the right wing with those two guys, with Kuznetsov and Ovechkin, and go with that and see how it goes. And I think the Caps have to get through the first 10 minutes of the game like they did the other night, and certainly the first period, keep it close, hopefully score first, and play a solid defensive game. They limited Pittsburgh to 22 shots on net the other night, and everyone was worried about this, you know, offensively dynamic team and how they get wound up in front of their own crowd. The Caps finally went in there and stole the game by playing good defense. Actually, I shouldn't say finally, because they did it at the end of the season on April 1st, where they went in and had great team defense. They clogged up the middle of the ice. They didn't allow 5-on-5 scoring chances, and they have to find a way to do that. So I would say the safe pick would be Boyd. The offensively dynamic pick would be Gersich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gersich can move, man. But then you worry
about...
Well,
he can, and he's only played a few games. So the big thing is...
Yeah. That's what you're worried about.
And now he hasn't played hardly. He has hardly played hockey in the last month. You know, his team got beat out. By the time they put him in the lineup, he gets a couple of games in. So it's a tough situation to throw the young kid in. So I think the safer bet would be the older Boyd, who's had a lot of success in Hershey, who's been a good playoff player in the American Hockey League. And I think for now, that's probably the way that I would go with it.
Yeah, I think you're right, because you worry about, even though Gersich can move, you just worry about, you know, turning the puck over in a critical moment or committing a stupid penalty in a critical moment. You know, just experience will help with that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Line matchups are so key in the playoffs. And that's where, you know, if you worry about a guy being stuck in his own zone and getting overwhelmed by the moment, and, you know, he's got a lot of great hockey in front of him, but I think Boyd's been there a little bit more in pro hockey, and he's not going to get overwhelmed to the same degree. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. That's one of the things about experience. You learn how to shrug it off.
Has your opinion of this team wavered at all? Have you, as you've watched them through the playoffs? Like, I know going in, I thought they'd win the first round, right? But then they go down 0-2, lose the first two at home, and I'm like everybody else. Cakes said they're a corpse in the Potomac, dead. I was with Cakes. But then as the way they responded and winning four in a row and now having won 6 of 7, my opinion of this team has changed dramatically.
Well, I never thought that they should have been down 0-2 in the last series. And I felt that they outplayed Columbus, but they gave them the games because they were poorly disciplined in the penalty department. You know, it was the first game. There was a Tom Wilson penalty that he didn't need to take, and it was at the wrong time of the game, the horse collar penalty. And then the next game, 3 penalties in the third period and 3 unnecessary penalties. And he was one of those guys as well. So they gave up momentum within each game. I don't believe in momentum in series. I believe in it by game and by period. And they gave that up in those games, but I felt they should have won because they outplayed Columbus so bad that they gave up momentum at the worst time. In game one of this series, you know, they came back and they altered how they played. And I like the fact that they were able to adapt on the fly in the Columbus series. And I felt in the last game, or the first game of this series, that they got away from their game. They got away from their structure. They didn't adapt. They had too many errors. I'm probably the one person that thought they should have lost game one. And it wasn't just the 4 minutes and 49 seconds. I thought they gave up way too many scoring chances. And what they've done in the last couple games is eliminated that, and they got the defense. So if you ask me, has it wavered? I love what they're doing like right now. The response, I saw a lot of things that were different with this team over the year. You know, they didn't get in the first place by accident. They just didn't pull on their jerseys like they did the last few years, and their roster was that good in the regular season. They had to work at it to get to the top of the Metro. They come into this series, and, you know, good for them. They've got a great mindset. The past is the past. Big deal. You can't do anything about teams that failed 20 years ago, 19 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. It's a lot of new players on this team. The combinations seem to be a better fit for everybody. When you throw players out there, you're not thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. They're finding a way, and they're not putting their heads down. They're not feeling sorry for themselves. The amount of fight back in them has been spectacular. They've never had a team, in my opinion, since I've been covering the Caps the last 9 years. They haven't had a team that's fought back and fought through adversity. And, you know, I've seen when they get down, all of a sudden they're down 2, they're down 3, they collapse. And these guys just keep fighting back, and I think it's amazing.
How would you grade Murray versus Holtby in this series so far?
Well, you got snipers on both teams, so it's a tough one. I thought the Caps have gone to the net the last few games, and they have made life difficult for them. They're shooting quicker. The first game, everything was a pause shot, and they were overthinking where they're going to shoot. Now the Caps are unloading, so I think they're both playing very well. They're both making spectacular saves. They've got snipers on them. I think Holtby has definitely come up with a lot more bigger saves, and they have to find a way to keep getting to Murray. You know, don't overthink it. Shoot the puck. I can't say that Murray has a weak glove, even though there's been some goals scored over there, because I've seen him steal a lot of guaranteed goals from big-time shooters, and it was the glove that got there. And in the past, we've seen him use that glove as well. Everyone kept saying, stay away from the glove. So, you know, it's a game of inches. Sometimes it's a game of a quarter of an inch. And, you know, you got to shoot the puck. You got to get to net. You got to hope for your bounces. And you have to take care of your chances when you have wide open nets. You just have to bear down in all situations. So, you know, it's going to be a tight series the rest of the way. And it's going to be, you know, one goal game. I think every night it's going to be who makes the fewest amount of mistakes is going to be the team that wins the series.
You feel good tonight? Feel good about it?
Well, I like their mindset. I think having a day off between games, being able to, they're probably prepared for the Wilson suspension. But I do like a lot of things that this team has done. So I'd have to say I am confident in what they're doing right now.
Yeah. To Alan May, thanks a lot for joining us, bud.
Thank you, Alan.
See you, Alan.
Take care, guys. Yep. Enjoy the game.
All right, buddy.
We will.
Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington.
I'm going to enjoy the game. Win or lose, I will enjoy it. They have been freaking amazing, entertaining games.
Hey, Eric, it is an awesome sports day.
It is. I'll be busy for a lot of it, but
okay,
yes.
Okay, that's fine, but you still know the stuff's out there if you've got a
spare hour.
Well,
I won't be busy from 12:50 to like 4. I'll be watching
Tiger. You're watching Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
You got Tiger, and that moves into the Nats at 1.
Who's pitching today? Is it Hellickson?
Hellickson's pitching. And by the way, he's pitched a little bit better his last couple outings.
He's been decent.
I mean, he's only going about
like
five innings,
giving up 2-3 runs.
But you know what? The way they've hit the ball, maybe 5 innings is enough. And then you've got the early start with the Cavs and Raptors.
Why are they starting so early? I'm cool with it.
Probably because, for some reason, both Eastern Conference games are on the same night.
So they're staggering the start time.
So since they're both pretty much on the East Coast, they have to move it up early because you don't want to play in Boston at 9:30.
Or LeBron just asked for an early game because the NBA bounced down.
Or maybe LeBron said, hey, yeah, Adam Silver, I want to play a little bit earlier tonight.
Sounds like a cake's dinner reservation. 6 p.m. Actually, kind of late. I like 5:30. But 6 p.m. is perfect.
Out of all of those things, what will you watch? Tiger, Nats, early Raptors. I know you're going to watch the Caps.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it.
All of that except the early Raptors Caps. I won't be home for that.
Probably just watch the Caps.
Won't watch any Tiger?
He's not a Tiger guy.
I don't know. Just checking.
He doesn't like African-American people.
That's just a ridiculous blanket
statement. He likes Devontae Smith-Pelly.
You know what?
First of all, Tiger is not African-American. He's Cablin Asian.
That's true. He definitely doesn't like Cablin Asians.
As a Tiger guy, should know that.
Hey. I think you're on.
He doesn't like hip hop culture. He
doesn't like rap. Doesn't like backspin.
I love Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Doesn't like LeBron.
Thank you very much.
He's out on Noel and Beal after the series with the Raptors. He's out on all the brothers.
He's very pro white.
I'm just getting painted with this.
Pro white. You guys watch golf. That couldn't be more pro white.
So I'm a big Harold Varner fan.
Never heard of him.
Me? My favorite golfer.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a sport more pro white.
Right.
Hockey actually has more brothers than golf.
Mm. That's true. Yeah. It's a true statement.
Yeah. All right, football fans. The NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.